It's time for this week's Share Something. The Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City has been sharing a lot lately online. The museum's huge collection of art and artifacts has a growing digital presence for the public to check out and for non-commercial use by scholars, too.
Here to share a tour of that digital museum and some highlights is Sri Srinivasan. He's Chief Digital Officer for the Metropolitan Museum of Art, or the Met, in New York. Sri, thanks for joining us.
Delighted to be here.
So how much of the Met's huge collection is available online for us to check out?
Well, we have 400,000 images that are available online that can be viewed, of course, as much as you want. And then if you want to download them and use them for non-scholarly purposes, for non-commercial purposes, for nonprofit work, you can absolutely download them as well. And this is part of our initiative to get more people to see the museum's art and to enjoy it. We obviously love having people come to the Met in New York, but not everybody can. And we want people to also experience it online from all over the planet. And so that's why we're making this effort.
Seeing it in person obviously has a huge impact. Do you think that viewing it online has a comparable effect?
Nothing beats being in a museum, being inside a gallery, and just you and the art, no technology. But we, you know, there are so many other circumstances in which we want people to be able to access it, understand it, go deeper, and that's where we've spent a lot of energy and time and resources on metmuseum.org, which is our website, to do that. I was in Milwaukee just a few weeks ago, and I was at your wonderful art museum, and it was so nice to be there and see those art pieces in person. But you can see why not everybody will be able to see it in person.
One fun thing about the using the digital space here is that you can organize the museum in different ways, kind of however you want. And you've got a thing called One Met, Many Worlds, and items are organized in categories not by where they're from or their era, but things like rounded, broken, dark, and youthful. Has the museum staff had a ton of fun coming up with these new ways of compiling the collection?
Right. This was an effort. Thank you for pointing that out. This is a new way to access the collection, which can be seen in so many different ways. And we want to make sure that we have kind of the scholarly, authoritative view into the art, but we also want to have these other kind of non-traditional ways. And so what you're pointing out is a new interactive feature called One Met, Many Worlds that you can go in and kind of have lots of fun with it. And you can put your pairings and your interpretation of the art yourself and share it with the world. So we like that, and that's a great way to bring people in.
That's one advantage, because when I was actually at the Met, it seemed like they weren't going to let me start moving things around and organizing the way I wanted to.
No, not yet.
And it sounds like people can play with the images too, and visitors can pair them up. How does that work?
Well, in this particular feature, which you can find in our collection section, we took our 500 kind of highlight items, and it's part of this guide that we our printed guide. We want it to be available online, but we also realize that the way people look at art now, they want to interact, they want to do things with it, they want to share it, they want to mash it up, they want to remix it, and we thought that this would be a fun kind of way for them to find pieces of art that they like, and kind of the juxtaposition and looking at details would be a kind of new way for them to experience the art. We still let you just look at the full object if that's all you want to do, but if you want to get into the details and look at specific things and play them off each other, you can do that as well.
Well, you've shared a handful of works with us, and we've set up our own little gallery of sorts on the Central Time Facebook page. I just put up a thing and then comments with links to six or seven different pieces of art. Now, when you were coming up with these, Sri, did you have a theme in mind, or are you just kind of showing some of the breadth of the online collection?
Well, today we wanted to just show you a breadth. These are not any particular order. We just wanted you to kind of have some fun with it. And I see that you put them up on your Facebook page. So thank you.
Well, let's get into some of the selections that we've got. Wisconsin Landscape by John Stewart Curry is one.
Right. And of course, since it's Wisconsin, I thought that would be something fun for you to share with your audience. What I really like about this is if you go in and, you know, you're just looking at the painting and it speaks for itself, it's obviously a wonderful oil on canvas. But what happens is that this was done at a time when this was just after the Great Depression, and parts of The Midwest were still suffering from the effects of it, but the whole point of this piece of art was to give hope to people. And I think that's something that we can, art can do. It can give you solace, it can give you enjoyment, but it can also give you hope. And this particular piece was from an Artist for Victory competition that supported American artists during World War II, and that's when the Met acquired it. And what we do is we collect art from all over the world, and we want to make sure that it's as accessible as possible.
That reminds me, before we get into the other pieces you are sharing today, my understanding of the way museums is work is that sometimes what you see in the museum is just the tip of the iceberg. There are much bigger collections that rotate in and out of storage. Do you use the digital collection in part to help share some of those things that might not even be up on display?
That's correct. That's what we do. We want to make sure that people, scholars, students, and others can have access to the collection and be inspired by it. So there might be a variety of reasons something's not on display. It's on loan to another museum. It's being it's being touched up because it's got some conservation work that needs to happen, or we just rotate it because we want other pieces of art to show up. So by having it online, I think that we're able to give people access to it. And this is all part of kind of where society is going. I think to be successful as an institution, you have to make a connection between the physical and the digital, the in-person and the online. And very much like media, like radio, the way you're using kind of traditional radio but using Facebook, we use these same tools to make sure that people can access it in multiple ways.
Well, another one of the pieces that you suggested is The Death of Socrates. This is an interesting one. He's surrounded by his acolytes, I guess, who are around him. And I'm gathering this is a scene where he's drinking the hemlock. It's a fascinating one to see online.
Yes, and this is our museum is filled with our Greek and Roman art from antiquity and from much older vintage. This is our Jacques-Louis David, which was made in 1787. But it tells this kind of ancient story. And what I like about that is that every era was very comfortable looking back to be inspired. And at the Met, we have more than 5,000 years of art from every culture, every civilization. And that's why I thought it might be fun for you all to take a look.
Another one, and this one kind of illustrates some classic American artwork. And the 4th of July is coming up, very timely. Washington crossing the Delaware.
Yes, this is, of course, a very famous painting, and it kind of really speaks to you. And I hope your audience will go into the Facebook and then also go online to see this particular artwork. And you can zoom in ways that when you're standing at this enormous canvas, you may not be able to get much closer, but online you can get much, much closer.
And we won't stain it with our noses.
Sri, how unusual is what the Met is doing with this online available collection?
I think a lot of museums are doing this now, and I think we're all trying to make sure that the value of the museum, the case we make for our nonprofit status and everything else, is to get more people to see more of what we do. And you do that not by squirreling things away in the basement or in storage, but by bringing it out. And in a globalized world where so many people are now going to be traveling and experiencing each other's cultures, they love seeing this kind of art online, and we want to be able to do that. And we're part of many, many museums that are doing this. But at the Met, it's all about scale because, obviously, it's a very big place.
Well, we've focused on the paintings you shared so far. Let's get into sculpture. This is a new one to me, Durga as Slayer of the Buffalo Demon Mahisha from Nepal, I think I saw.
And this is a Hindu deity, and my daughter's name happens to be Durga as well.
Oh.
And I was thinking of her today, and I was looking at some of the art, and I thought I'd share this with you. And what you're seeing here is that beauty and the lines in which this piece of sculpture has been was created just shows you how universal the concepts of power and devotion are in one piece of art.
Does your daughter Durga like this one?
She does. she knows that she's named after a strong and very powerful goddess. She has a twin brother named Krishna, who's also a more playful but powerful Hindu god as well.
Durga is the tiger rider, isn't she?
That's correct.
Okay. Lots of things
you know
to learn.
You know you're a Hindu.
Well, let's move on to a couple of statues that you sent. This is an interesting pairing, young Hercules and older Hercules.
I love this because it's arranged in our Greek and Roman courtyard, and these are two separate statues that were side by side, we presume, when it was when they were together centuries ago, but now we've put them looking at each other. And I've had so many friends and others kind of walk by each of them and not make the connection, but when you look, you'll see it's Hercules in his 20s, let's say, and then there's Hercules in his 50s, and he's carrying with him this lion skin when he's in his 20s, and either it's the same lion skin that he kept for several decades, or goodness knows how many lions suffered at his hands. But it's a very powerful image of somebody who was strong and became older, wiser, but still the strength is at the core of what he looks like.
And the last one you shared, and again, you can see all of these on the Central Time Facebook page, a marble column from a temple of Artemis at Sardis, which was in Persia. Is that right?
And what you're looking at here is a really tall column. And some of you who have studied architecture or looked at, you know, when you look at Hellenistic sculpture and architecture, what you'll see is that we've taken the bottom of this column and the very top of the column and collapsed and put them on top of each other because we don't have space for the full column. But you'll notice how much wider the base is compared to the top. So it was a kind of tapering, very gentle tapering that you will not be able to tell if you're just looking at the column. But this is a very direct way to understand that.
Sri, I'm sure your job's a lot of work, but it sounds like a lot of fun too, isn't it?
It is a lot of fun, and I get to work with some very cool people who want to marry technology and art and help the world.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That was Sri Srinivasan. He's Chief Digital Officer for the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. And we've got a little gallery of the art items we've been talking about, make that visual side of the conversation come alive. You can see them all over at the Central Time Facebook page.